Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
And what shall we discuss this day?
Well, I want to start out with this, maybe, I'm not sure if I have questions, but update on the boat.
Excellent.
So,
congratulations.
So I think it was since last time we talked, found a company to make, it's easier to say it's a prototype of the engine, but it's kind of a piece of a prototype of an engine, and found a company that was really into it, and so I gave them all the specs, and signed a contract, and then he ran into some problems with the people that fabricate the parts, and there's some lawsuit, and it's all complicated, and kept thinking it was going to be resolved, and then probably March or April, I just kind of negotiated a different deal with him. It'll be similar, but I got other parts, send it to his place that's going to fabricate, and then some of the important missing parts he's going to do. But anyway, the short story is I still don't have the first prototype. So everything's sort of on hold for that.
But you are engaged, right?
Yeah.
You are involved.
Yeah. And in a weird way, it's kind of going okay. I mean, I'm busy at work and stuff, but it has been some interesting challenges. But then in the meantime, I just got really excited about buying a boat. And part of it is related because I have to test out, you know, the engine, and we have friends that have boats and stuff, but, you know, our family, but, you know, it'd be a lot easier if we had a boat. And, so, we bought a boat. It's up in, Canada. We're figuring out, you know, make sure it's ready for the trip, but we'll bring it down, Canada probably like in mid-July, so. Anyway, some fun stuff. I've also been researching, and I actually have all the materials I need to make different ways of making hydrogen from seawater. But since I don't have any use of the hydrogen, I'm waiting on the engine to be available because I don't want to just do that and release it. Not there's anything wrong with it, but you know. I might need those materials to test the engine with, and so I'm, anyway, it's all exciting, going slower than I was thinking, but kind of working out. So.
It also gives you a time framework to adjust and to gather more information and to prepare, and in that, in a manner of speaking, to define.
Right.
For once you actually engage the boat, that marks the beginning.
Right.
Therefore, this is all the preparation for the beginning of the new direction. And in that, this is actually an excellent example for both of you in all of that preparation. All of these steps that you are engaging, and it gives you an example in a physical capacity of what it is to be building a foundation for a direction. All the steps that you engage and what you are doing and what you are involving yourselves with. You do this with anything, but many directions that you engage do not necessarily entail physical steps that you can look at, and you can see all of that building of the foundation and then moving in the direction. This is an actual physical example, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny. So Anne's always talking about, and I think it's, you know, through conversations with you, but following your excitement and stuff, and I'm not really one to do that normally. I actually head that direction, but then I might do a lot of research, talk myself out of it, or, you know, think it's not practical, money's not going to come, whatever. But we might have already talked about this, but I remember when I found this townhouse, this is before I met Anne, I bought it the same day, which is just unusual. But then maybe 8-9 months later, I meet Anne. And then kind of we connected. But anyway, Anne's making me, you know, think about it more. But then this boat is a similar thing. Like, normally I would just have to research it so much that the boat might not even be available. But in this case, we'd actually gone to Boston to look at a different boat, which was not what we were thinking. And then found this boat, and 2 days later bought it. It was over the internet. I hadn't even been able to personally see it, but it was interesting. You know, it kind of feels right, I guess. So.
Which is also an excellent example.
Yeah.
That when you are listening to yourself in many situations, not all, but in many situations, as I have expressed previously, there's much less work involved.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And when you are allowing yourself to flow, it is not that you may not present some obstacles to yourself, but you flow around them,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they are not stop points, and they do not necessarily deter you. You merely move with them and stride, and it is not as bothersome to you. And this is also an excellent example of that aspect. Individuals tend to think that spontaneity is something that you do in one moment on an impulse. And it is not always. Spontaneity is deviating from your usual planning.
We're being pretty spontaneous.
And what you are usually accustomed to. And allowing yourself to, in the cliche, throw caution to the wind.
Right.
But in that throwing caution to the wind is allowing yourself to stop overthinking and listen to your intuition. And listening to your intuition is not thinking about it and checking your body and expressing what my intuition is expressing in this way. And it is merely allowing yourself to flow with what feels natural. And in that, what is significant to know, for I am aware that many times I may express in that manner to you, and individuals will misinterpret that and think if I am in my flow and if I am being spontaneous, every choice that I generate will be precisely what I want, and it will be always easy. No, that is not necessarily correct. But even when you move in a direction, situation and you generate a choice spontaneously, and it, you are allowing yourself that flow, it may subsequently be a choice that you're not necessarily satisfied with. But if you are not moving in that direction of considerably questioning yourself, what did I do wrong? I wasn't genuinely listening. If you are acknowledging, no, that was a flow, then you will not be as bothered and you will merely look at that choice and express, and now I will choose another different choice. And I'm not necessarily entirely satisfied with that choice, but it matters not, and I will choose a different one.
Right.
And that is the difference in one of the manners gauging yourselves if you are in a flow, that it is not that everything always moves in the direction precisely what you expected or what you wanted or is precisely what you imagined, but that you are not as bothered by the factor that it may not be entirely satisfying, and you easily move into another choice. But thus far, with these choices, other than certain boulders in your stream, which you are flowing around, that are not quite obstacles, but you are noticing that they are creating situations in which you are required to flow around them. And in that, it is not deterring you from your direction.
Right, right.
You are continuing to be motivated in that, which I am tremendously acknowledging and congratulating you on your choice and your satisfaction in your choice, and beyond that, your preparation for the direction with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did want to switch gears a bit, so
I forgot to.
I had what's wrong?
Nothing. I was going to move it over there to record Elias's voice, but hopefully it worked.
I think it works okay.
Yeah.
I had, met you before I'd even heard of Seth, and in some of our early conversations, I was talking, maybe not early, but a bit ways back, I was talking about something kind of like, it was lucid dreaming, but it was really that time, not where I'm in a dream, and I know it's a dream, and I try to do something, but it's like this time where I'm just kind of waking up. And I'm awake, I know I'm awake, but there's this kind of dream thing going on. I can even maybe like, it doesn't really happen very often, but it does, I can kind of open my eyes and see that I'm in the room, but there's other stuff going on. And so recently, I started listening to a recording of Seth Speaks. There's a couple pieces that reminded me of something, but one of the things that he said, I just want to hit a couple of subjects and then talk
very
about
well.
It, was that you really only need 6 hours of sleep, and ideally it would be 3 hours and 3 hours. And then he talks about it a lot, at least the way I was thinking, but then in a lot of different scenarios, combinations, whatever, but he basically said that you should not sleep more than 6 hours at one time. And he said there are certain conditions why you might, you know, your body might need it, but in general, and I'm paraphrasing a whole bunch here, but that it's not good for you. You know, and many aspects, not eating for that long, resting too long, and this kind of thing. So for one thing, it sort of resonated for me, but at the same time, ever since listening to those chapters anyway, I cannot sleep more than 6 hours. I wait, and it's almost like clockwork. If I go to bed at 8, which, well, so I don't nap, though, and so I don't feel like I'm getting enough sleep, but I was going to bed, like, more tired and tired, and then, but if I go to bed at 8, I'll wake up at 2. And so what I started doing was getting up, you know, not just trying to lay there for an hour or 2 hours and then finally fall back to sleep, and doing stuff, which is not really the, I'll probably approach it a little bit differently, because I want to get back to this, well, it's something else that he said, so weaved in that whole conversation and other chapters was that you give more thought to your, or more, not thought, more, I don't know the right word, authority, or more, whatever, to your conscious mind and your conscious body and that kind of thing, and not to your subconscious. I can't remember if he called it subconscious, but he says it's really in that waking state where you can tap into other things. I can't even remember what he called it, but that we should really pay attention to that, you know. And so really what I'd like to do is explore that more, you know, get to this, you know, not quite dreaming, not quite awake, and pay more attention to that, you know. That was kind of my goal, but instead I really, there's other things I'm researching about the boat that I get up and start doing that, you know. But I remember when we talked before, it's really that time where my mind is normally the stillest. If I wait too long, I start thinking of other things I have to do or things I'm interested in exploring, but it's a very normally creative time for me, you know. So I guess I'm curious whether, you know, sleeping the 6 hours and focusing on that would help me in that direction, or if it doesn't matter, you know. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, in relation to sleep time, I would express that it varies with individuals. Now, in relation to dream state, or what you are expressing in twilight state, that would be different. And the amount of time that you are engaged in sleep does matter in relation to those factors. If you are not engaging sleep for a long enough time frame where you eliminate that flow into a dream state, if you are engaging too much sleep, then you also limit your dream state. You generate the dream state, contrary to what most individuals think, in relatively short time frame. Regardless that you may think you are dreaming all night long, you actually are not. Time is altered in dream state. And in actuality, time is very similar in dream state to what it is objectively when you disengage. And this your perception of time in dream state seems to be ongoing and long, when in actuality, in relation to the actual passage of time in your objective reality, it is considerably brief. I would express that if you were engaging the dream state for time framework of 1/2 of an hour, that would be a very lengthy time framework. Generally, that dream state is between 10 and 15 of your minutes. But it seems to be very ongoing. Now, in this also, the dream state, remember, is the involvement of your objective awareness with subjective activity. The subjective is still in the primary position, but the objective is now interplaying and is generating imagery about whatever the subjective is expressing. In order to include the objective awareness, it requires you being closer to your waking state. This is the reason that, generally speaking, you enter and maintain that dream state just prior to awakening. Now, this is also the reason that if you awaken, let us say, in the middle of your night, and you were in a dream state, you can, or many individuals can, easily move back into that dream, that same scenario, if they are only engaging their waking state for a minute or 2 minutes. You can easily move immediately back into that dream, that imagery. For your objective awareness is still interplaying with the subjective, even though you have awakened, and your subjective is still in that primary position. Now, in order to create that twilight state in which you are, metaphorically speaking, 1 foot in the dream and 1 foot in your waking state, that is, in a manner of speaking, a fine line between being in the dream state before awakening and being in the awake state. You can intentionally create that. You can practice with that and become more and more proficient at it. And it is not actually as difficult as you may think. But before I address to that, let me also express in relation to the sleep state. As I expressed, every individual is different. And you could express in a general sense that it would be adequate for most individuals to engage only 6 hours of sleep. It may not be entirely optimal in relation to health, but it is adequate in relation to what you require, meaning how much time your body requires in relation to sleep state, in relation to what that is doing in allowing the subjective to move into that primary position. 6 hours would be, I would express, a minimum.
Wow.
Of allowing the subjective awareness to be in that primary position. It allows you to be more balanced and more centered and to move more efficiently and effectively and to function more effectively. Less than that, and there are some individuals that can function optimally with less, but generally speaking, less than that would likely eventually lead you in a direction of difficulties in relation to physical manifestation and therefore health. Now, in relation to what you are expressing, 3 hours and 3 hours would facilitate more of an easier transition. It would definitely move you into more active dream states for your shortening that time framework in which the objective awareness is not engaged. And the more you shorten that time which the objective is not engaged, the more likely your objective awareness is to be on alert constantly. Therefore, it is much more readily available to be in that dream state. Now, what I will express to you is a caution. Individuals can become very enthusiastic in that direction, and what can easily occur is a significant interruption of your sleep state if you are repeating that consistently. And the body consciousness begins to readjust. And metaphorically speaking, for your body doesn't think, but in a metaphorical manner, your body begins to associate or think that there is always something to be on alert about, that there is some type of threat that your objective awareness requires being alert to. And that can create difficulties later in sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I would caution you in that direction and encourage you to practice other methods more frequently than interrupting your sleep every 3 hours.
Right.
Now, other methods can be engaged and may actually be more successful for the type of state that you want to recreate. If you were only wanting to increase your dream state, then I would agree that interrupting your sleep after 3 hours would be an effective method to do that. But to achieve that twilight state, what you can safely practice with and would likely be more successful with would be to choose time frameworks, whether it be in the day or at night, but to choose time frameworks that are relatively quiet and not much activity occurring in your environment, but not silent. Let me give you an example. An example would be, let us say, at a certain time of the day, let us say in the late afternoon or the late morning, in which, in this hypothetical scenario, you are the only one at home, and you have approximately an hour or an hour and a half in which you are alone in the home, and therefore there is not distraction and outside activity occurring around you. But it is daytime. Therefore, there are sounds. Birds are chirping outside. Traffic is moving. There are sounds that are occurring. But you're not distracted in your immediate environment by other individuals or activities. Now, in that, and generally in the day, you could also take care of bright sounds such as a radio and not be concerned that the radio is playing and other individuals are sleeping. Therefore, you are not concerned about disturbing anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this scenario, if you place yourself in a comfortable lying down position, not in your bed, on a sofa, in a hammock, hammocks are excellent facilitators for this. Genuinely. And the hammock can be either inside or outside. It will function equally as well. In that, you allow yourself to lie down, relax, even pretend you are about to engage a nap. But you stop yourself from actually entirely falling asleep by paying attention to a sound. Choose a sound. Close your eyes. This is the reason hammocks are wondrous with this, for they move.
Mm-hmm.
They rock you. Boats are also excellent. That rocking motion is soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is naturally relaxing. Choose a sound. Birds, traffic, even traffic can be lonely. Choose a sound in your environment. It could be a breeze, seagulls, waves. It matters not what it is. But focus on that sound, but not intently. Merely allow yourself to listen to it as you are relaxing more and more. Therefore, you are almost asleep, but not quite asleep. And you can gauge that because you can still hear those sounds of whatever your focus point is. In that, the imagery will be considerably vivid. It is different than a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Or generally, the imagery that you present to yourself in that twilight state will feel as if you are actually physically engaging it. You are aware of not being asleep. Or you can continue to hear those waves, or that bird, or those vehicles. But you're not actually concentrating on them. You're not actually paying attention to them. But you hear them enough to know that you are not actually asleep.
Right.
But the imagery is very vivid. It will be very vivid. And generally, this imagery will always be in color. Which may seem somewhat odd to some individuals, for some individuals always dream in color, but many individuals do not. And this type of imagery will always be in color, and it will be vivid, and it will seem as real as your waking state. You will notice, when you become familiar with engaging this type of action, the more you move into it and the more you maintain it, when you pull yourself out, you will feel somewhat disoriented. You may even feel somewhat off balance physically. For your body is adjusting. Your body thinks the imagery is your waking imagery. Therefore, it is not generating a distinction between waking imagery and that imagery, that twilight imagery. And it can be somewhat disorienting. It may even be disorienting for several minutes, in which, if you engage another individual somewhat immediately, you might even believe that you have engaged some activity with them, or that activity occurred and did they see it? That is how real it will seem to you. It will feel very real. In this, it is an interesting exploration that in-between state, for this is allowing the subjective to be in the primary position, regardless that you are not asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you are involving the objective awareness in the secondary position, regardless that you are generating that vivid of imagery. For the subjective awareness is generating the subject matter, and the objective is following.
Which I think is what I'm really kind of after, at least from a exploring point of view. Because I think that I, like, maybe even subconsciously suppress a lot of that, you know, like, what do I really...
Now, what I will express to you in that is that the imagery that you generate in that twilight state generally will be very symbolic. Regardless that it seems very vivid, and in that vividness, you will be more likely to generate images that are familiar. Therefore, if you are an individual that in dreams incorporates a tendency to create imagery that is very foreign to you, that you never see in your waking life, when you create aliens or strange images that seem to be nonsensical. In the twilight state, that is much less likely. You are more likely to create images very similar to your waking state. Therefore, you will image people, you will image things that are familiar to you, you may image creatures, and they will appear to you in the same manner that they do in your waking state, but they mean very different. The people that you image in that twilight state are not those people. They are symbols. This is a state that is tremendously symbolic, more so than your dream state. For in dream state, you may not actually be presenting symbolism to yourself. You could be tapping into another focus. In this state, this twilight state, everything is symbolic. That is the significance of it. Now, you might term that subjective awareness to be your subconscious aspect of yourself. Aspects of yourself that you repress or that you push away. And in that, yes, those aspects will surface very easily, but they will be imaged in very symbolic images. Hypothetical example, you may be in that twilight state. You may image yourself standing in your living room, and it appears almost identical to what your living room is. And in that, you may image a Christmas tree in your living room, and you might image two small African-American children. And they may be engaging some action with that Christmas tree, and then they may be painting it with blood. And it will appear as though it is genuine blood. And these children will seem very real, and they may be covered in it. And you may be disturbed, and you may even interact with them, or you may exit the room and be calling for your partner. And when you stop that twilight, you might momentarily think you actually yelled for her. And you might even express, "Did you not hear me?" And you might even express, "Where are those children?" And then you will remember. But in that, every piece of that imagery is symbolic. It means something else. It does not mean those children. It does not mean that Christmas tree. It does not mean blood. It does not mean your living room. Everything in that image has another meaning because it is all very symbolic. It is your objective awareness's interpretation of what you are subjectively expressing. This is the best image to describe this action or this concept. Blood is the best image to describe life force. Therefore, in that, if that is the point or goal, so to speak, that you may be interested in self-discovery, that is an excellent avenue to engage that. In a manner of speaking, it is equally as effective as hypnosis. The difference is that with this twilight sleep, you are left to interpret what all of that means. But just as within your waking state, you are feeling, you are generating emotional communications in that twilight sleep. Therefore, you can pay attention to what you felt in relation to all these different images to aid you in interpreting what those images mean to you.
I want to hit on a couple of related things. So, like for me, well, so it was interesting to me that after, you know, listening to this section of the Seth thing, I wake up almost exactly 6 hours after I go to sleep. And,
suggestion.
It could be suggestion, but I'm wondering if it's really that is what I need in one block, you know, or if it's just suggestion, I don't know.
Let me express it this way. Suggestion is not always bad. And at times, suggestion gives you permission to do what you would naturally do.
Right, yeah, so maybe it's, making me think about this thing
and
I wasn't doing.
You feel,
you know,
right, when you do it.
The other thing, and it's just something you hit on really briefly about legit dreaming, and I can't remember if I talked to you about this or not. I talked to Anne and some other people, but I was I had this dream where you and I were really like in another world. You were and I was like, say, a confidant of you, or I knew you really well, and you knew me really well. But you were You looked almost like well, first you looked kind of like a wizard, but not like Gandalf or anything. And like it's hard to explain, but you were a little taller than me, and I was. You were kind of floating, but I almost felt like I was pushing you or whatever. And there were, and you had a bunch of people that were kind of followers, or they were there to listen to you. And then, but it almost felt like in a cave or a jungle or something. It was kind of dark. And then they left, and you wanted to get down. And so I lifted you up and set you on the ground, and you were like maybe 4 feet tall and and like long feet and like more like, you know, not like a movie troll, but you know, a different kind of slightly different kind of looking creature. Yeah hobbit maybe. It was kind of neat, and I didn't know if I was really exploring another world, or it's just a dream, or anything.
Trust a dream. That is a fascinating statement, Justin. They are very real parts of your reality. But that is an example of what I was expressing, that in dreams that you are not always being symbolic. Dream imagery is not always symbolic. Many times you are actually tapping into other experiences. You are tapping into memory and expressing that, and your objective awareness is projecting it in a manner of speaking, also metaphorically, as your own personal movie of your experiences, what you have witnessed, what you have participated in other focuses, in other dimensions, in this dimension, in other experiences. And that would be an example of that.
That was another focus of him and
yes.
You.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And another dimension.
Yes.
Obviously.
It might not have been that obvious.
Oh,
I could have been a dwarf and
with a big long feet.
Dwarf.
Oh, you could have. Yeah.
And I could have been in this physical dimension, but no, it was not.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of fun.
What?
Can I ask about your dream?
Sure. Wait, what?
Oh, you do your thing first.
Well, I'm trying to think if... I guess just to follow on the earlier conversation. So I kind of feel like so part of me was just logically thinking, you know, 6 hours is good, 7 hours is better, 8 hours is best, or whatever. But I kind of think what would be best for me is maybe 6-ish hours of sleep and then a nap. Or maybe what you were describing, something to, like, settle my brain.
Yes.
And things. And but it's hard to fit the nap in, you know.
If you're retired, it'd be easy.
So,
what I would express is that is the point of determining a particular time of the day in which you somewhat consistently know that you will be alone, or if you are not alone, that you know that whomever is in the home with you will be occupied, and you can place yourself in another room and not be disturbed or distracted. In that, I would express, even if another individual is home, you can use that as your outside sound. If the other individual is listening to the radio or is generating some particular sound themselves, you can incorporate that as your outside sound that you are focusing on to aid you in lulling you. Even the sound of another individual's voice, if they are speaking, if they are in another room and they are not directly speaking to you, even the sound of another individual's voice can be lulling. In which, at any other time, you might view it to be stimulating or perhaps even irritating, but perceiving it in that capacity, intentionally focusing on it in a manner to be lulling you, you can use it in that manner and it will sound very different to you. In that, it is a matter of not making time, but choosing time, mm-hmm. and then using it. But the easiest manner to do that is to choose a time in which there is less activity occurring in your environment, such as it would not be an optimal time to do that at your dinner hour.
Right.
Or it would not be an optimal time to do that if you are incorporating gardeners that will be generating large equipment. A gardener with merely a mower might be lonely, but anything that is routinely occurring at certain times in which your environment is busy, those would not be the times that would be optimal to do this.
Just,
I would invest in a hammock.
Yeah. We do have one
somewhere. We did.
It did remind me that we used to do yoga kind of more often than we do now, but sometimes in that 5-minute thing where you're just lying down at the end and they're telling you how to relax and there's music, I can get in that state.
Yes.
You know.
Our yoga nidra.
I could almost feel, I don't quite fall asleep, but I feel like
I'm
dreaming.
I would express the more that you engage this activity, the easier it will be, and the more you will notice you can do it at will in very many situations, and more quickly.
Alright, thanks. That was very helpful. Our time's up, but thank you very much.
See you soon.
And then we shall continue shortly.
Yes, we shall.
Very well.
I thought I missed the whole session. And I thought we were on the second one.
No. Oh, first one. Okay.